Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. We're here now, once again, for the study of God's Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we've opened your word. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to give us guidance, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom, Father. The knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, to reach out to help others. And Father, we are asking you to give us work to do, Father, for you, and use us in great and mighty ways to bring in the lost, bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we go into this study, we're asking you to be with us and keep us. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 15th chapter now of Luke. It's not a real long one, so we are probably going to get in to chapter 16 also. And we're going to be dealing again with some parables. But these parables can be great teachers when we really listen with our ears and understand with the heart and know that we are going to use these things that we learn to help others to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now here in verse 1. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But you see, everything that Jesus does or teaches for someone, and most usually it is the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes that are watching him to accuse him of anything they can, because they want him gotten rid of. They really want him destroyed. And, you know, Luke makes much of Jesus' contact with sinners. And, you know, he classes these people as the lowest of people. And it is so with much of the religious people of that day. The publicans that they accuse him being friends with were tax collectors. And they were regarded, and oftentimes, actually with good reason, with special contempt. Because you see, all of them were not honest people. Well, we know that Matthew, one of his disciples, before he became a disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ, was a tax collector. He was one of the publicans. These Pharisees don't like none of this. Now, three. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And we're told in other places in the four gospels where one person that you can lead out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, is worth more than this whole world. Think about that. That's how much Jesus loved mankind. His wish is that all be saved. We know they're not going to be. His word tells us that. But it is because of their choosing, not because that's what the Lord Jesus wants or the Father wants. They would like to see everyone saved, but they know they're not going to. Because man was given a choice of how to live his life. And we have been given the tools to live it rightly. But it is yours and my choice on whether we do so or whether we walk the other way and trade the things of this world for heaven as our home. Now, you see, the Lord pulls no punches, and he lays it out. Now, he speaks in parables, but he also explains those parables to where those that belong to him can receive the understanding. Now, here in 8, either it's another parable. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And you see, we've got the same situation here as we had with the lost sheep. But that one is just as important, or more so, than the rest of them. 10. He goes on here in that parable to say, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repented. The angels of heaven are overjoyed because one sinner repents. So do you really think you don't mean anything to him? Now, we're going into the parable of the lost son. This has several meanings in this parable. Here in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You see, in that day and time, the oldest of the sons got a double portion of the inheritance. This younger son now is asked portion because he's got other things he wants to do. Now, verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In other words, he wasn't living the right way, doing things he should not have been doing. 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. You see, he's got nothing left. And now he's hurting. He's living now in want. 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That right there would have been, for this young man, sinking as low as he could go. Because for the Jew, they did not have anything to do with the swine, because the swine were unclean animals. They were not allowed to have them, touch them, eat them, or nothing. Nothing to do with them. Now he's gone low enough and wanting so much that now he's feeding these swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's eating the same thing these pigs are eating. Think about that. How low can you get? Now, 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. Now, but he knows that at least if his dad done just that, he'd not starve, he'd have food. Now, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But you see, that's not what the father thought of his son. And that's like you and I. We have all, in our lives, at one time, lived in sin, some more than others, but we've all lived in sin until we would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing we needed him, and go and repent and be forgiven. And then on the road of becoming God's child. And as we read just a few minutes ago, when that happens, the angels in heaven rejoice for you and I for doing such. Now, 22. You see, here's what the father thought. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. He's having a celebration because his son has come home. And we are told, and have been told in this chapter, about the celebration when you and I make up our mind to repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, bring him into our lives, and get on that road that will take us home to heaven. And we begin to worship and to praise our Heavenly Father. This lets us know the joy that's in his heart for you and I. That's what he's letting us know here in this. But you see, not all are joyful over it, because we have another thing also working within this parable. 24. He said they wanted to eat and be merry in 23. Going into 24, says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. They're all now working to rejoice with him. Now, Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. The celebration. 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. That's why they're celebrating. And he's come home. 28. And he was angry. This older son is angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know, you see, this older son valued his own higher privilege, and he despised his brother, who had actually squandered his portion of the inheritance. And now he's feeling superior and self-righteous, and was now understandably annoyed that his brother was being lavished with mercy and kindness. But you see, Jesus here is painting a portrait of the attitude behind the murmuring of verse 2. But also, again, the Father takes the initiative. You know, that older son was airing his grievance. And his brother enjoys the fatted calf while he has never had even a kid, which was much cheaper fare. And he speaks not of his brother, but of this thy son. His attitude, the older one's attitude. Just because he was being greeted back home, he had not taken anything away from the older son. And as he told his father, he was willing to work as a servant. He wasn't there to take any part of the inheritance or anything away from the older son. But the older son had this attitude and anger against his own brother, which is not right. Now, verse 29, he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You see that jealousy there? 31. But his dad said, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. When I'm gone, everything I have is yours. He hasn't come back for anything. 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found, just as we all, everyone born of woman, has walked with sin in our life. And those that have found the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of their sins and asked him to take over their lives, come in and live his life through them, we need to be rejoicing for them and keeping them lifted up before the Father in prayer. Not to be angry because they have found the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be merry and compassionate and glad for. Now, I thought maybe we'd get into 16, but I think we'd better wait until morning, because it, once again, is about the same length as 15, and we'll not have time to get all the way through it. And we're still going to be dealing in parables. you know. And I really don't want you to miss out on anything. So if you will, as I asked this morning, I asked to see. Take a look at chapter 15 again and see if God will add something else to it for you. Beyond what he has given you through me. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we thank you for your word as we close. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem and for this land of ours, that both, Father, can change the leadership from evil to good, to those that are yours. And that Israel will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And that this land of ours will repent and rejoice. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring our government back on the foundation in which this land was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all that is listening and hearing this word, that Father, that they are in health, safe, and in your hands, living the best they know how, and being taught and receiving something new with each and every study that we have. Now, Father, keep us through this evening and through the night. Bring us all together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all of you. Have a great night. Hold on to the hand of God. And he'll hold on to you. And I pray that you learn something from each session. Just as you heard me pray for you. And I mean that. God knows I do. From the bottom of my heart. I love each and every one of you. Now have a great night. And bye-bye.